Hello guys. So this is something really new and I don't know if I'm excited or anxious. I feel like I have mixed feelings about it. But yes, guys, welcome to the first episode of Conversations with Bella. Yay. I'm so excited because I feel like I've talked about this so many times about putting like a video angle to the podcast. And yes, it's finally happening, even though I didn't give you guys like updates before this happened. But like, I'm so excited about it and I'm actually looking forward to new things. So before we talk about our guest on the first episode of this show today, I'll first of all like to do what we always do on this podcast, acknowledge the person to whom honor is due, or however they say, cha. But like, what we always do on this podcast is that we start with a word of prayer. And I just want to say thank you to God Almighty for His grace, for His love, for His mercy, for His sustenance, and every single thing that He has done and making this come alive today. And I pray that everybody that connects to this podcast vlog would be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, guys, so let me introduce the show. As you all know, we have Giving Mental Health a Voice, which is a podcast that talks about faith, lifestyle, mental health, wellness, and everything generally. So this video angle of it is basically called Conversations with Bella, which on this part of the podcast or vlog, we talk about faith and lifestyle, which is why we have our my friend, my very cute friend here with me today. This is Leah, everybody. And she is a friend, a sister. I know. She's so special to me. And I decided to start off, kick this show with her today. Even though she doesn't have an option, she just has to. So I would introduce her, which I have, by the way. I said Leah, okay. But can you like tell us who you are? Who are you?
I'm so touched to be like the very first person here. Like, oh my God. This is a big deal because
It
very
is
soon you all
actually.
are going to have to pay,
Yes, actually.
yeah, to see these shows. But
Yeah.
thank you for having me, baby. She's already said I'm Leah. What do you want me to say? Like,
Like, who are you? What do you do? How do you
okay,
like to be described?
oh
Things
God, talking about
like
myself, it's so difficult when I'm on the spot, right? But
Yeah.
when I need to talk about myself, I can't stop. So how do we do this now? Okay, so
Let's start with my name, my surname. Maybe that'll be easier, like an icebreaker, but yeah.
okay, so Leah Kutu is my full name.
Okay.
I am Nigerian, of course.
course.
The of course had to be
Of course,
there
because all the beautiful
because
girls are from Nigeria,
yeah, but I currently live in Prague. And if you know something about me, anybody that asks, in fact, even if you don't ask, the first thing I say when people are like, oh my God, how is it living there? It's like you walk on every street you walk on, right, has candy colored houses, and it just feels
Oh my
like
God, that's
you're
actually
living in
true.
a fairy tale.
That's actually true because I
Yes.
haven't ever like noticed it before,
It's
but
so stunning for me.
yeah.
Like I was always like, oh my God, like how is it? It feels like you're in some, you know,
Yeah.
Disney movie. And sometimes I like to pretend that I am. Yeah,
Wow.
so I live in Prague. I currently work in international logistics.
Great.
I like to write. Like to write is a strong description. I write, right? And sometimes I like what I write, and some other times
You
I
just
don't.
write. You
Exactly.
just write.
I just write. And then I like very, very good conversation to write. I'm just a sucker for that. So like, give me intellectually stimulating conversations any day, anytime. Enriching conversations where
Course.
I get to learn, I get to unlearn or relearn things is usually my forte. These are things that I just naturally drift towards. And currently, one of the biggest projects that I have going on is my book.
Guys, I feel like drum rolls. They should insert that drum. I'm like a huge proud friend because when I saw this, I was like, oh my God, like this is such a big deal. And
Thank you,
I'm not
baby.
going to try to like make it minimal or like try to like downplay it, but it's like such a
Don't
big
make
deal.
me
It's such a big deal. And I'm
cry.
super proud of you
Why is it
guys.
so
Oh,
sweet?
but you guys need to get yourselves a copy of this. It
Yes,
is
I agree.
amazing.
I agree.
You can where can you get it off?
Yeah, so right now it is on Amazon. We're working on like getting it like put on a personal website, like a website dedicated
Okay, nice.
But for now, I'm trying to really, really build a community of like-minded women. You know, it's going to be, and men, if you please.
Of course, they need it.
Anybody, yeah, everybody does.
Yeah.
And the book is built on four pillars, right? And that is gratitude, the strategy of self-reflection, basically, towards the end of your day. You get to ask yourself, okay, so how did I go about this thing? And why did I choose this way? And what is a better way I can go about it tomorrow? It focuses on discipline and the power of affirmations, right? So we know that there is power in the tongue, and we know that what you constantly think, you become.
Yeah.
So that it gives you, for example, like just a bunch of cute, witty,
like also... so the sweet part of it, and I think I like so much, is the journal part where you like, I don't know, it's not like a normal journal type thing.
So cute,
like, you can see it, guys. I don't know if you can see every part of it, but like, there's a part where it starts with what your affirmation is, and then it sort of like provokes your mind to think of what you're then grateful of.
Exactly.
And I think it's cute. Oh my God, it's actually cute. So thoughtful.
And then also, so the affirmations are not direct quotations from the Bible, but it is, for every single one, there is a promise in the word of God that's
nice,
you know, it builds on. So for example, this one, so I will give you, I can give, oh, I love this one. Because this one says, fragrant oils for thine skin, beautiful sandals encase your feet, your clothing fine linen and silk, your neck, ears and hair iced out in rare stones, your soul lovely, your heart stunning. This is the outfit that befits thine day. And it's Ezekiel 16 verse 8 to 14.
That's so gracious.
Thank
like
you.
I love this.
So when you go about your day, you think you walk
like you already
you
have it like in your mind,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, you walk differently, you carry yourself differently, because you know that there is a certain type of prestige, a certain type of glory that follows you, and so you radiate that as you go about your day. And then the revised one that is now out has also places for self-care.
Ooh,
so you write down something.
I think that one is
still
so beautiful.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay guys, so into the business of the day, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics. Everything we do on this podcast is about faith and lifestyle, but this one is very, I hold it very dearly, womanhood. And I think it's such an inexhaustible topic, because when we talk of womanhood, where there's so many things that like encompass like just being a woman and everything.
True.
And today, like, especially looking at it from the faith dimension, because obviously as believers, children of God, we don't conform to the standards of this world, so we are trying to basically understand who God says we are as a woman from the lenses of like scriptures and like the spirit and everything, and not like, oh, I'm a, like, you know, you have the whole burst girl moves and everything, but like at the same time, I'm all like, you're slaying the demons. I saw this thing that I saw this quote recently, like, I just love women of God these days, how they slay and how they look good, and then you should see them cast out demons,
like,
and speak in tongues.
That's Bible.
It's so like so cool. So I just like love having these conversations about womanhood, which brings us to the first topic for today. How would you like describe like your faith journey? Like, how do you know when it started? Would you say like, oh, at this point in your life, like that was when it actually started? Or like, I've always been a church kid, I've been a pastor's kid, or like things like that? Because I know some people don't like have that. So when did it start for you?
Oh my God. So I've always been a church kid. I think that is right.
Oh, nice.
Not a pastor's kid, but a church kid.
Yeah.
Like my mother is the woman that will wake you up at 1 a.m. when your sleep is the sweetest to tell you, yeah.
Come on,
pray. I'm like, what are we dreaming about? It's like, do you need a reason to pray?
Oh my God,
That is my mom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was 6 years old, right? And the thing that would make my mom so pleased when she's bragging about me is like, oh my God, do you know how many verses she can recite? I was that kid, right? So I grew up in such a very, 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 religious, but faith-based household. And I would hear my father like saying, and my dad is like such a role model to me, you guys. And
same we're daddy's girls.
Daddy loves me. He's so Amaka's dad is the sweetest.
I know. I'm just, I don't even know. I'm the daughter.
Don't be
here.
Jealous. So it was usually like that, right? But I would say I can't tell you the exact time period, but I would say like the personal discovery for me was getting into high school. Mm. And the thing is, again, I went to a Christian high school.
Mm-hmm.
And there were sessions where, of course, we would have chapel and all that. There would be altar calls. And I remember thinking one day to myself that I cannot do this by myself. And it was just like the sacrifice on the cross just became so real to me that there was such a palpable hold upon my life. And at that moment, I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
And I remember that I had those grips like a couple of times, so more than once, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Lord, I'm here again.
Everybody has had that.
But when I was in SS3, right, so like final year of high school, like I can't remember, but there was this program that happened, and then I was like, so the fire, you know, when all you want to do is pray, and I became my mother. Like, instead of being the one woken up at 1 a.m. I would be the one waking up to pray, and it became like such a strong part of my life that to this day I know that I was writing it down in my other book, where I just write like goals and all of that. And one of them for every other thing to happen was that my spiritual life, I had to get my shit together
again
spiritually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, like keep it together. To keep it not going. Not again, right. Keep it together. Because, and I wrote there, the reason is you have found your source in Christ.
Ooh.
So when you are disconnected, every other thing does not make sense, right? So I know, for example, or personally now, that no matter what it is, no matter how ignorant I want to feel, that's why I can't do some things then, because
the conscious conviction is
so real. I know that I am complete, I am whole and I feel satisfied. It doesn't matter how often I get to the gym, it doesn't matter that I'm doing my protein, it doesn't matter that I'm writing, all as long as the part where God is supposed to be in isn't there, I just feel incomplete, you know. And I there's such a reliance upon God in my life now that it's like, if the smallest thing could be happening, I'm like, God, Holy Spirit, it's literally Holy Spirit acting, right? Yeah. Because I'm like, you need to do something, like ASAP. I'm losing my temper, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I am shopping and I don't remember what it's like. It's like, God, what was it that I was supposed to remember?
It's so beautiful, because like, when you talk about, I did a whole episode one time about finding my balance and faith.
Yeah.
I had quite the opposite. Like, I wasn't born into like the most religious home.
Okay.
My parents were Catholics, and I feel like my parents were Catholic because their own parents were Catholics. Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, I won't sit down here and insult them and say, didn't have their own faith journey. They did, but like, I didn't grow up where like they used to tie church to the neck or anything. Of course, we used to go to church as a family. We used to pray as a family, but that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like one very embarrassing moment when I was in SS3, where like they're like on assembly, like open your Bibles to the book of Matthew.
Okay.
And I did not know where Matthew was in the Bible. And then my friend was like, she later became my friend after that experience. So she just helped me and like opened it. And I was like, thank you. And I feel like that point like made me, I have always been very curious about my faith and everything. Like you said, there's always that thing that like, okay, provokes you to want to like have your own faith for your own. And for me, like, it happened in uni.
Okay.
Because like, you knew me.
Yeah.
You
knew
this.
We went to uni together, you guys. So we've been friends
quite a while. Like, I was like, this girl who was like, I never knew it, boom, boom, boom. And I personally wasn't like bad. I
was not. No, let somebody else tell this testimony. It was like,
I actually did.
The contrast was like night and day.
Yeah,
the contrast was like sun and snow.
Honestly,
like there was no telling. And then we started to hang out more. Yeah.
And I feel like at that point, because I did something where I just went off on Instagram for like a few months, a couple of like 6 months, came back, deleted all my pictures. And for me, like, that was the dawn. And
you've always been a bad babe.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the looks. In terms of the photos,
like, okay. I feel like people, do you know, someone told me that I give them Joyce Meyer with a bad bitch.
The next time I post your photo, that's going to be my caption.
I'm like, oh my God, like, you guys, seriously. I feel like I've always been someone that likes fashion. I don't think anything can take that away from me. No. And the good thing about it is God has used that platform to exalt me. So it's just, I feel like God uses everything. Yeah. Like, never downplay. Because, you know, one of the things about being a 21st century believer, not even just a, is that knowing that there's no every, you can be, a, you must have a personality as a believer, mm-hmm. right? So it was something that I told God, like, when I got saved, anything that is not of you in my life, take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that God preserved was that desire to look good all the time, to do, to you know,
it's
just
good business,
God,
baby.
Like, just use it. He didn't, like, it wasn't like something that the Holy Spirit would come. Obviously, with modesty, mm-hmm. there are some things I would not wear right now,
yeah.
and some things I would not do. But mm-hmm. I feel like that area of my life just, like, opened me up to, you know, certain things.
And I think that I want to be part of the women uh-huh. in this day and age that are changing the narrative.
Ooh,
right?
Preach.
Like, like we go to church, uh-huh. yes, but we know how to look good too.
Exactly.
Like, don't tell me that we're the church sisters that you can recognize because our hairs are pulled down,
Lord.
And we've got the modest look,
Lord.
And our heads are bowed.
Oh.
That's not what we're
yeah,
about.
Like,
we're not. No, like, I can pull off a very, very, very smart look mm-hmm. or a chic look mm-hmm. and still know how to pray.
Of course.
Like, I know that you dress the way you want to be addressed,
yeah.
but I'm over it being like, you've got to look demure, you've got to look
sad,
muted.
Gloomy.
Exactly, mm-hmm. because you're
you can
a church
look colorful.
Girl. No.
There's nothing wrong with mm-hmm. look. Like, some of the times, like, one of my biggest inspirations and, like, the one of the people that I like is
Jakes Roberts.
Oh my God,
that is our home girl.
Like, every girl's
she
girl,
is
girl.
Our home
and
girl.
This woman will legit slay the demons and cut down the spirits and go in tongues with a high heel, 5 inches pencil heels. Like, I'm like, girl,
and I love her because she's so real.
I'm even having goosebumps.
Like,
that's
you know the one that probably
yeah.
every other person. So many people. When what was the first message you heard from SJ
that was, oh my god. I think it was the one where she said something about when you push, you pull. Like, something about where
mm-hmm.
like, she was talking about how, like, you don't, like, you have to how did she even explain it? Because I did post, like, a short video
okay.
of, like, her talking about when you don't completely lean in, like, you can't be halfway, like, you're depressed or you're going through depression
mm-hmm.
and then you're just there relapsing. You need to make the effort to move. So
okay.
when you push,
okay.
God pulls.
That's
and you push
like her.
And she,
like her.
She was talking and then
like
this
her.
Room just went quiet.
That sounds like
and
her.
Women were crying.
God is good.
And I was like, oh my God.
Mine, the first one I heard about her was Girl Get Up. She's really like the voice in my head when I
oh
it's like
my
girl
God.
Get up
she
girl
is,
get up
oh
girl
God,
get up
she is so good
it
she
was,
is so good
God uses her so
oh my
mightily
God. Do you know the,
that
oh
I
my
can't,
God
and in that particular sermon
yeah
she started out by saying okay this is going to be short and sweet amen. And she's like the reason is because my feet are already killing me and I forgot to wear my Spanx so
oh
you all better pray I can hold my stomach in and I was like this is the
oh
weirdest
she is
most
and
relatable
when I look
thing
at, obviously another person I really admire is my mommy in the Lord Pastor Ifeanyi
Pastor Ifeanyi
does it for me every time
and she's so beautiful
she's so modest because mm-hmm. one thing that is very important I love modesty a lot I personally believe that the world's definition of modesty is a world like
that's why
culture.
I choose decency
yes
I don't even use modesty
oh my God
anymore.
For me modesty is moderation
mm-hmm.
right
mm-hmm.
anything you do look good look beautiful
and that's
but understand
true.
The concept of moderation right mm-hmm. There's this thing that my friend always says well less is more it's like the more you're not even trying but girl own it
mm-hmm.
understand your body
yeah.
understand what looks nice on you but at the same time understand that okay this you're not even doing it because of the men I don't even but my own is just like being comfortable in that
no you're not doing it to impress
yeah
everybody.
To impress them
or
yeah
compete that's like
so,
for women
or women yeah even so but like the way she dresses Pastor Ifeanyi the way she talks the way she carries herself and I feel like that way you dress sort of like transcends into your courage
mm-hmm.
because there's a certain way you command respect
yeah, absolutely.
When you work when you talk when you dress
mm-hmm.
you see a woman or wearing a certain kind of there's this woman on Instagram I've forgotten her name that like makes like she has a line like
okay.
a Christian line, fashion line for
Stop.
Women.
I need to get
I'm
on following
telling
her.
You. She
yeah.
is so good and she's Nigerian. I don't even know her name if not
okay.
I would have like shout out to her or something, but she's really good.
You can put in the description. Yeah, maybe I'll put it in the description. Like, YouTuber now, y'all.
And then I would do that in the description box. But she's so good. Which brings us to like our next conversation, big on womanhood is finances. I feel like this is a conversation that shakes tables when we bring it.
Yes,
like,
because we come to accept that we're the ones making our money.
Oh my God. And the whole idea of, okay, let me just ask you a very, very important question. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in the concept of your money is our money and my money is my money?
Your money is our money and my money is my money.
Like in concept of like you being with like a man, like in your relationships or in your marriage, like do you believe that your money is your money and my own money is my own money?
Wait,
it's actually
I'm coming. Let me understand. This is still what Maka wants to share.
Like
his money is our money.
Yes.
And my money is my money.
Yes, and your money is your money.
When I'm not daughters of Eve, repent.
Oh my God.
They are going to drag you. Let me tell you what I feel. Mm-hmm. Before you guys come for my edges, okay? Please. Let me tell you what and your belly there. So let me tell you what I feel. Mm-hmm. It's a partnership, right?
Right.
Like I heard somebody, I think it was SJ Sarah Chicks, I'm not sure, but I heard or maybe not. But you know the part of the Bible that says in Ephesians 5 that the man is the head of the house.
Of course, yeah.
It goes on to properly explain what it means by that.
Yeah.
And I love the Message translation of that. It explains that when the man being the head of the home is not even something you should be dragging for. It's not even something you should be dragging for. Because it is not being the head by commandeering. It is being the head by servitude. It says that he should love his wife.
You're going into the topic of like the other parts,
really?
Just hold this thought.
Okay, so let me just go back to the finances, what it said. Something about the guy is the head of the house but she is the crown.
Yeah.
So she beautifies you, right? And then it also says again in another way that okay, there is no head without a neck.
Oh,
so it is just as the arm cannot say to the head, I don't need you, and the feet cannot say to the arms, I don't need you. That is not the type of woman that I want to be in my marriage.
Yeah,
right. I mean, Proverbs 31 tells us about the etiquette that God, the work ethic that the Proverbs 31 woman had.
Yeah,
right. She was a woman that was about her hustle, and I have never been one that that knows how to be dependent. Ooh. Not on my parents, not on anyone else. Mm-hmm. So I for sure, not even with people I'm not like a partner that I'm dating.
Yeah.
So it for sure would not be that I get into a marriage and then the husband does everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to give you room to do your thing, to lead, of course. And if that includes you spending, I'm going to have to grow to get used to that.
Yeah.
But it's not a thing about I'm not going to spend my own coin anymore.
I have like
it's now an us thing.
For me personally, I think that something that I struggle with is like I don't know how to allow people provide for me, except my father being my father, because I'm used to it, of course. But like when it comes to like relationships, which is another topic entirely, but like with regards to my finances, and I was having a conversation with someone, one of my friends yesterday, and I was saying to her that the reason why I'm like basically working as hard as I'm working right now is because I want to be able to enjoy the fruit of my labor,
exactly,
regardless of whether I have a man
or not,
or a partner, like now or later in the future. So the whole point is me being able to say, okay, yeah, well, I work hard for this, so I should be able to work on it or get this for myself.
And I'm not saying you guys need to have a joint account. That's what I'm saying. Like he can have his account, you can have your checks and all that, but then you guys need to decide, okay, so what is the plan for our household? How are we going to run it?
Yeah.
Am I going to handle groceries?
I feel like we're gradually entering into the conversation of relationship.
Okay.
And we're running away from finances. The whole point of like
it's the first question you ask. It's such a multi-dimensional one.
I know.
So basically, in summary, I would like to say that it's not, that doesn't work, right? Yeah. It's not my money, it's not your money.
Exactly.
Like, it's our money.
It's our money.
We can have a certain percentage because I want to be the financially wise yeah. person. A certain percentage of my check and a certain mm-hmm. percentage of your check that goes into our account mm-hmm. that we can handle, we can use to handle like tuition for the kids, mm-hmm. holidays, like we can have a
holiday stash.
Of course,
I feel like I also have things, that narrative as well. But like with finances, there's this narrative that a lot of I've seen like that has gone out. But okay. women are trained for everything else. Like, we are groomed to know how to cook, to look beautiful, to make our hair, to have our nails done.
Yeah.
But you never see, like, growing up, I don't know, apart from, you know, I have a father who defies social norms constantly. My daddy is, he doesn't agree that he's like an empowerment person, but I see it in him a lot. Yeah. Obviously, like, he's such, he doesn't like to conform to names and mm-hmm. like stereotypes. Mm-hmm. So my father taught us to ask questions. I remember like the first time when I was growing up, my dad, like when I was like 10, my dad used to take me to where like his stakeholder meetings with his account officers.
Okay.
His, you know, like I knew when my dad had shares in Kakawa, in like different things. I would even go by myself to like sometimes go and ask, like see the people, the insurance companies and all of that. But I feel like it's a conversation that homes, like a lot of females don't have with their
yeah.
families, with their parents. So like, what do you think is, first of all, like, do you think, how real do you think this is? And secondly, like, what do you think is the way, like, how do you think we can actually curb that? I feel like if we provoke financial thoughts in women, then women would grow up to not be dependent mm. so much on men, mm-hmm. you know, or grow up to be dependent on their families. Because you see a lot of hardworking women with ideas, with innovations. And of course, it's a choice. But my point is, I like informed choices. Choices where, you know, this is this and this is that. And but you're able to, like, choose this one based on the fact that you are educated and you choose this, you
yeah.
know, option.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the solution to that, and do you think it's like a conversation that we need to start having? What do you think needs to be done?
I would always be open for it to be a conversation we need to continuously have.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I was a first kid, right? So the first kid, even though being a daughter,
mm-hmm.
my dad is a lawyer, so he's quite an enlightened man, if I do say so, and he was also the type of person that would. You know, if my dad purchases a piece of real estate,
mm-hmm.
he would take you there and
ooh,
be like,
yeah.
"This is ours."
That's my father.
Yeah.
That is my dad.
He would
right
take
there.
You there and be like, "This is ours.
Yeah.
We bought the deed from
mm-hmm.
so and so. This is what we're going to do here."
Mm-hmm.
Even now, he calls me and he's like, "Oh, you should see what we're doing at,
yeah.
the, at this and this. He's got like this interesting project." And he's like, "You should see." And then he'll send me photos. He would send my brother to the site and then tell
yeah.
me, "Make videos on Shulia." You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all for me. They've always been, my mom is always like, "You need to know
yeah.
that I did not, you are not in the age where you are dependent on a man."
Ooh.
Even for those of us that were, or for our mothers that were,
yeah.
it was not a choice.
Ah.
It was the only
courage.
The
it was
only,
life as they knew it.
Yeah, it was the only,
yeah,
the
yeah.
only option.
And that's
no,
that's the thing that I try to correct people a lot, because there's always this impression during our mothers' days, they were like this, they looked a set. Our mothers could not make informed decisions. Most of them were restricted to culture, life, and norm.
Exactly.
Like, they couldn't challenge stereotypes. You can't challenge stereotypes with limited knowledge.
Yes.
You have to
so
be informed enough to
it's
make,
a bit
yeah.
different for us now, because we've had opportunities
we're
to
enlightened.
Be enlightened,
mm-hmm.
to question the status quo, as opposed to how it was in our mother's time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I know, for example, my mom is a full, is a working woman, and
yeah.
she's got a business. But in her mother's time, even though, like, she did a lot of petty trading,
mm-hmm.
she did not have enough information or enough resources to build it to sort to
yeah.
a huge enterprise
mm-hmm.
like we do now. So I feel like it being spoken about in schools, it being spoken about in churches,
mm-hmm.
it being spoken about as it is already in social media,
yeah.
it is enough to continually steer questions as in regards to, oh no, let's question the status quo,
yeah.
right? And I would like to say that, okay, I was actually having this conversation a while back with some friends,
mm-hmm.
that, okay, even though we can't say that women are no longer being paid unequally as it used to be 20
yep.
years ago, now because now we've got like women in places of ownership, mm-hmm. in places of leadership in companies, women mm-hmm. owning their own businesses, women on Forbes list, you know, women being millionaires, billionaires. Exactly. So you know now that you can do it. And let exactly. me tell you, you can do it.
Exactly. Like,
you're absolutely, there is
girl,
nothing.
You can do it.
There is nothing.
You can do
it.
You
put your mind to that.
That you can't. And I feel like those women, like, because I personally believe that those women, not just like they've set a standard for us, mm-hmm. and when I mean a standard, I don't mean my mom always says there's a difference between emulating someone and trying to be like them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not trying to like copy them or anything, yeah. but we
you
be
yes
be authentic. But they challenge us to think. Like I remember how the social media went wild when we heard about Okonji Iweala, mm-hmm. and you know it was such a, like it brought me joy because I know that my children, my daughter, would have things like that to look up to. And that's something I always tell myself. Like, I want to be the woman that my daughter wants to look at. And I was watching this movie today, Advocacy for something. I've forgotten the criminal advocacy or something. On Netflix. You need to see that movie.
Okay.
It is, it's like breaking patterns and understanding certain things.
Okay.
And when I look at my mother, for example, my mom is someone that I think that if given the right opportunities, because she's so industrious, she thinks well, my mother is good with her hands. Like everything she literally touches, she turns
prospers.
To magic. And I feel like if given like more opportunities, because my mom always says it like, oh, if I had like the opportunity, because my mom had us very young, right? So it was like, oh, I finished secondary school, I got married, I went to university, and that's where it ends. But like there are limitless opportunities for a lot of, and I love seeing older women break into the space of doing things regardless
yeah.
of how old
yeah.
they are.
Yeah. We've got business women with their numbers running mm-hmm. over six figures, right? You've got Connor Walker. You've got
girl.
You've got tons of
yeah.
them. I'm obsessed with Connor, so that's why her name is. She owns House of CBD.
Oh
right?
my
it's
god.
Let's not even start to talk
let's
about
go, let's
CBD
go, let's not go to House of CBD.
But you've got
but
businesses
yeah.
like BBX brand,
yeah.
you've got the Meshkis and I'm not sure if Meshki is woman owned, mm-hmm. but you've got like but basically
a
what I'm trying to say is you've got
business.
A lot of women in business and they're doing
in tech. Grace Beverly. Can we talk about
Grace
tech?
Beverly? Yes.
Can we talk about Ariana Huffington,
industries,
the owner of Huffington Post, or more?
Like you, so there's enough
and
of
I,
them
I,
for
I
you
think,
to question and for you to
I think
be like,
success
I
is
here.
So attractive.
It is.
Like I look at this women. Omo, I'm not even like a man or anything, but like I'm so attracted to. I would be so attracted to women who like. Have their own thing going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, those are the friendships
like,
you, want to,
yes.
you want to be in. Right?
People you
want
to
you
have
want
in
to,
your
yeah,
space.
You want to talk to those type
you
of
know,
women. You want
to challenge
ideas.
Your mind. Yeah.
And so I would say that way is one of the ways. And if these things are not readily available to you in regards to seminars or workshops
mm-hmm.
or sermons like that, where you hear
mm-hmm.
people question the status quo and talk about women empowerment or women empowering themselves financially, then I will challenge you to pursue the information yourself. Like
exactly.
there's a ton of them.
And also we forget
yeah.
to add the Bible
on social media.
It's not even
Bible.
Like it's the Bible is like
Preach.
A manual for finance.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people say, oh, you know, there's a way to da 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 da. What do they call it? How they say, like, oh, the husband is the head. We don't take that away. We're believers. We understand that Christ, like you explained, and Christ being the head of the church. But we also need to understand that in the spirit, there's a duality of the nature of God
mm-hmm.
in men and women. So
okay.
we are both expressions of God, and this is how I like to explain it to people.
Mm-hmm.
So God,
okay.
there's a part of God, like seeing us as women, there's an expression of God in us, and there's an expression of God in men. And God wants each and every expression of him to thrive.
Exactly.
So you're not maximize your capacity. And there's something that Pastor Paul says all the time. He says that if you're a man that is constantly, like, believes in, like, suppressing women or not allowing women, then you're not firm in yourself. You don't have a sense of self. You don't understand yourself well enough, which brings us to the main topic,
which is
singlehood and relationship. I avoid this topic a lot. I hate it. I hate having this conversation because I feel like people believe that every time that women sit together and talk,
we're talking about
relationships. But
We're talking about business, y'all.
Oh, oh my god. Money. Like me and you, honestly, we're always talking about money.
How to get our houses in order.
I feel like every time me and you talk, it's always money conversations. Yeah. But yeah, relationships and singlehood. The reason why I want us to have this conversation is mm-hmm. because me and you have constantly spent time talking about concept of wholeness and yeah. the concept of finding oneself. And there's something okay. that I learned about, like that, like one thing you told me that like I hold so dearly, and you. It's, you know, being so comfortable in being single that like when someone comes into your life, you understand the term of it being an addition. And I feel like it's something that is a conversation that I get so mad when young women go me along. Why are you crying? This person broke. I want to slap them to space. But I feel like everybody has had their phase. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing that I love so much about being self-aware or mm-hmm. getting to a certain point of self-awareness, which mm-hmm. I feel comes over time. Because when we were younger and these women in their mid-20s or like 30s were telling us, you know, focus on yourself. We thought that they were just rubbing our shine. Like they don't want us to enjoy.
Exactly.
But like there's something about finding yourself so firmly in Christ as a believer, first mm-hmm. of all, knowing who God wants out of you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, then building your self-awareness, mm-hmm. which is also very important. Like finding that firm balance and knowing, okay, you know, this is what I want in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you understand that anybody that comes into your life is just an addition mm-hmm. to who you are, mm-hmm. not your entire being.
Exactly.
And I always give this scenario. I say relationships are like you have an apple mm-hmm. and you cut out like a little slice. It's just a little slice of your entire being. It's not your entire life. But we have been so, like, as women, as people generally, because I feel like men also suffer this. You know, mm-hmm. a man has money, a man, the next thing that is coming is how many babes do I have?
Okay.
And it's a thing that has come from a place of feeling like a relationship is such a big part. Me and you are both single women right now, we not. We
let me tell him how this saying, is what? Like out here in this
girl, room. You're single.
What is wrong with girl, you?
I put
what
it to you that you are single.
You don't have business like that.
I'm single. I'm like in a place in my life where I am single and not searching. I say this a lot of the time, and it's not because I don't desire someone. I do desire someone, but I feel like there's so much I'm starting to learn about myself in this critical point in my life, mm-hmm. and I feel like adding someone into it. And obviously, like, I'm not taking away the path that if God brings someone into my life, I'm not like open to accepting it, because it's God's gift and it's perfect. But at the same time, I'm in a place where I'm not going to allow my entire focus to be on waiting for a relationship or wanting it or I desire it with my heart, but I'm not going to like make my life focused on it, because I understand that the person that God is making out of me is so much more than marriage and relationship. So I want you, do you agree with me? That's
absolutely.
Yeah,
I feel like you said, it's just a tiny part of a whole,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, so we're called to much more than dropping it like it's hot, much more than running a huge corporation, much more than having a successful, wholesome marriage, and much more than birthing kids and then raising them.
Okay.
It is an entirety, right? Because you've got an assignment. And then your marriage is also supposed to help you pursue that assignment.
Exactly.
To fulfill the role that you've been called to embody on this earth.
Of course.
And the Bible says, can two walk together?
Unless they agree.
Aside that, show me a man diligent in his ways, he will stand before kings, he will not stand before men.
Mm-hmm.
I bring that up first because you have to be diligent about your business in all other ways so that you are not ashamed.
Exactly.
Because if you are not, for example, you know that I was doing therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So some months ago, got myself,
which is also an important part
in therapy,
in the conversations that we're having
a while ago.
Yeah.
And it is because I know that there was some emotional baggage that I realized that I was carrying that I knew I shouldn't be carrying.
Mm.
And these are things that I want to drop, not just because I want to be a wholesome person. But yes, if I want to also be a wholesome wife, then I've got to have all these places.
Of course, like in your life.
So they are these parts of your life should run concurrently with you being together with someone.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't like it.
So you don't think it's mutually exclusive?
They rely on each other, right?
Okay.
Because you can't give what you don't have.
Exactly.
And as much as you're this busy person who is successful in other areas of your life, you need someone.
Yeah, of course.
We're social beings,
of course.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if you decide that you want to be with someone, you want to settle down, and you want to be in a loving and wholesome relationship, then by all means, you should do that, right? Because when for me, is people ask me this question all the time, and I find it so interesting. When I answer them, they're like, so they're basically like, their mouths are open and they're like, what? You don't know where you want to stay. It's like, okay, so do you want to settle down in Prague for long?
Oh yeah, I think them, I've asked you that question.
Yeah, and I tell them that I am such a nomad. I don't believe that I need to put down roots in one geographical place permanently, or at least even though that is a part of my life that will come, it's not something that I focus on, because I largely greatly believe that home is where the heart is, meaning that the bits and pieces of my heart that I deposit into the people around me are what makes a place feel like home to me, right? So it's not about where you want to go and all of that. And if you know that all these things run around you being a wholesome person, then being single is not something you should run away from.
Yeah.
In fact, I find it such a unique opportunity to express myself and to learn so much about
so that when
I finally end up settling down or choosing to give a bit of my heart to someone, I know the type of things that I would accept or the things that
full disclosure. I remember when I first moved to Prague and you said something to me, and I feel like you do say a lot of things. You don't even realize that you do. So she said something about, like, you need to choose to be present, you know, in the place where you are. I had remember, like, oh, I came in and I gave me my baggages and and you told me, like, Amaka, like, do you want to, like, enjoy? Yeah, just zip it. But do you really want to fully enjoy this place? And to be honest, like, you were right, because my heart was so littered, like, who I was, my being, my, and that's why I don't feel like I have a phobia for relationships or commitment. I just feel like there are so many wrong things that I have learned that I need to unlearn.
Sure.
And those things require time. And those things require me spending time with myself, being my own company, loving my, and Prague is such a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize, like, all the things that I could enjoy here, because when I came in, I was in Prague.
Mm-hmm.
My body was in Prague, but my soul was in Nigeria. Like, the things that I had attached, the baggages, the people, the complications, the things, did not allow me to enjoy my new space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what happens many times when you constantly, like, seek relationships. Because sometimes I feel like looking to other people for validation is like a way of avoiding what is going on in your life.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like,
the deep conversations, the truth you need to,
the things you need to have yourself.
Should I tell you what? So let me tell you how I knew I needed therapy, you guys. It was somewhat embarrassing situation. Somebody said something to me not last year, this is 2020, we just started, right? So I knew that I needed therapy, like, since last year, but I just kind of got around to it this year. So, but basically, in 2020, right, this happened 2020, and somebody told me something in about August, I think, August of the year 2020, and I was just like, it was something devastating and heartbreaking, and I couldn't understand how they could do this, right? And then for them, they had revealed their truth and it was no longer eating them up. But I had to deal with the fact that the thing that they'd done really hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized how devastating it was. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, did you hear what I just said? And I'm like, I heard you.
And I feel like
I heard you.
It's so painful. Mm-hmm. Like,
I didn't do anything about it.
Mm.
I don't know where I put it, in some vault, maybe in my head.
Mm.
Let me tell you, I was going for a Christmas party with my friends. Mm-hmm. And then earlier on, I had like a call before going out for that party. Yeah. I was on my period. I had a call and it was from this person and they were talking. And after I ended the call, I just started crying. Mm. And let me tell you, that December was when I was processing the thing they told me.
Ooh, that hurts.
And I was like, how did I keep this with me for so long that I'm carrying? And then I realized that because I don't want to hurt, right? Because I don't want to go through it, I ignore the things that I'm feeling and I just suppress them somewhere. And it's my coping mechanism and I just find a way to keep going.
This brings me to like our second to last conversation. About therapy and trauma for women and womanhood. I feel like we've inherited a lot of things, patterns, particularly trauma, especially like the fact that the society thinks that heartbreak, hurting people is a normal thing. So when women go through, like, I remember the first time that I my first relationship ended, which was like when I was like 21. Mm-hmm. And I remember like someone telling me, oh, like, congratulations, this is just the first of many. Like, imagine how, you know, we normalize certain patterns. And obviously, as a woman, they expect that you should be used to this in a breakfast, a national cake, you go chop. Why? It's a traumatic experience. It's like you giving someone a part of you and them, like, breaking it, basically wrecking it. And then the fact that we, like, you saying that, going for therapy and, you know, your decision to take therapy, do you think that all of us, women, men, everybody that has gone through like some sort of like difficult moments, especially like heartbreaks or like broken relationships with partners, with parents, you feel like therapy is something that they should do?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Look, I feel like, first of all, let's do away. This is 2022, okay? Yeah. I don't punch people, but I don't want to hear you say therapy is for the weak.
Oh my God.
I don't want to hear
it's not
you say
Christian enough.
Therapy is not for black
it's
people.
It's not for Christians.
Exactly. Also, sunscreen. Don't say sunscreen is not for black people, but that's another day's conversation.
That's another discussion. Yeah.
Don't say therapy is for the weak. Don't say therapy is not for black people. Also, don't say therapy is not for people in church. Keep
oh my God. Voices. Never. Yes.
Sorry.
Never.
So these things, I don't want to hear it in 2022.
Yeah.
Please let's drop it. Right. And then I feel like okay, so it's breakfast day.
Breakfast day. National
breakfast.
Cake.
Please.
Yeah.
Let's not go about thinking that it is okay
it's
to hurt
okay.
people. Mm-hmm. Right. I know that it's the social media rhetoric, but it's really
hurt people, hurt people.
It's not cool. And if you know that you're a hurt person, I also hear people say, they've given me to audition.
Yes.
What is that?
That's a very funny narrative. Like, where
don't.
Did I even come from?
Yeah, it's not, right? You've got to let go and heal for you to get something good in return.
Yeah.
And then I want to say this now. Do we need therapy? Now that is, I feel like therapy is a good thing. I would absolutely recommend. But do you need therapy is a question that
you need to ask yourself, girl.
Yeah, you need to answer for yourself. And also by the leading and conviction of the Holy Spirit. It might be that you just need to pray.
Ooh,
it might be that you need some counseling.
This,
it might be you need a friend.
I always tell people that, I'm sorry to cut you short. I remember when I found out that I needed therapy, God is beautiful. So I had just gotten into this relationship, my very last serious relationship.
Okay.
And, you know, things were a bit serious. You know, I think I spoke to him about wanting to do therapy. And he had said to me that, okay, why? You know, he asked me. And I can't blame him because it's like a question. We live in a society where he was just as mentally unaware as a lot of other people on the face of this earth or in Africa, Nigeria generally. So I had said to him that I wanted to do therapy. And I remember seeing this, my friend, you know, in church, and she had the word for me that God had, she said, Amaka, like in the spirit, I see you hanging on to like something that looks like a barbed wire, you know? And it was like, she was like, you're hanging on to something, like you're so hot, like there's so much unprocessed pain in your heart and God wants you to accept his love for you and you need to let go of that. I remember her saying that to me and I went home and I got back from work. I basically just dropped my thing on the floor and I cried for a good 1 hour and I saw myself as a little girl, because I always say this thing that every time that I have flashback moments, I see myself when I was the most hot. And when I was most hot was when I was a little girl. So I saw myself as a little girl in my school library, which was like a place where I used to go for safety. And I saw myself there just crying. And I could see that it was at that point where I desired safety so much. And I had not gotten over that young girl. I just outgrew her, mm-hmm. basically. And I didn't address her pains. I didn't address her worries and everything. And then I had the Spirit of God tell me in that moment that you need to go for therapy. You need to have me express my healing towards you through somebody. And I remember reaching out to my therapist the first time. Oh, Dr. Kemi, I love her so much. And she said to me that you have repressed so many things in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's who I am. I'm someone who represses things. When things happen to me, yeah. I shove it down. I minimize it. I make it look like it's nothing. You know, and that's what I had gone on, like, continuously doing in my life, including the people that have hurt me. And I think that was the point where I knew that no matter who God is making out of me, and there was something,
yeah.
one of my friends, Pastor Adeolu, said one time, he said something, and when he was preaching, and I don't even know if he knows that this thing still stays with me, but he said that there's a calling that God has for you sometimes that you need to let go of some certain kind of baggage to be able to actualize mm-hmm. those callings mm-hmm. over your life. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was pain. There was so much pain in my heart. And as much as God wanted to turn my pain into like something beautiful, but he needed me to first of all accept that this had happened to me and like mm-hmm. get out of that pain yeah. to be able to actualize yeah. you know those things.
So for me, I want to say if you need therapy or you've come to a place where you've accepted that there is so much pain that you're trying to process,
yeah.
you don't even need a reason to go to therapy, funny enough. Mm-hmm. If you just feel like, oh, I want to talk to somebody professionally, I love it now how Christians are taking so much initiative in the marketplace.
Yeah. Yep.
And there are a lot of
Christian therapists
you can find online, you mm-hmm. can find remotely, mm-hmm. if you want to
do, you can talk to a counselor.
If you want to,
you don't even have to see a therapist.
You can go. So that's that. And I feel like you need to understand that there is beauty in vulnerability.
Ooh,
some
yeah.
people hurt people because they don't want to be vulnerable. So we're just talking about heartbreak and it being the national, you know, and that's
national cake.
I'm bringing
erase
this
that narrative.
Exactly. We need to erase that narrative and realize that, let me tell you, when you go into a relationship, I'm sorry to tell you, right, because even the people that love us the most can do tiny things that would cause us some hurt. Of course, yeah. the intensity of which should not be something huge or something yeah. magnanimous. Mm-hmm. But basically, the thing is because, and I'm not excusing imperfect people, mm-hmm. hurting people. That's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. In case that's where some of us are going. I'm just trying to say that there is power in being vulnerable. Ooh. I listened to a TED talk by Brené Brown.
Oh, my lady. Yeah.
And basically,
but she's like the go-to person for everything.
She's amazing.
Vulnerability, she's amazing. Shame.
She's
okay,
amazing.
Yeah.
And she basically destroyed the construct of shame
and
of hurt.
It's that one.
And
hurt
she and said, shame. Yeah, and she said that when you go into a new relationship, mm-hmm. right, and it helped me really grasp something. Mm-hmm. Leah, are you going to be very closed off? And somebody might argue, right, that the reason why a lot of women say, oh, I'm enjoying my singlehood yeah. is actually because we're closed off to being hurt, mm-hmm. which is a valid reason to not want to get into a relationship because, mm-hmm. hey, who wants to be hurt
yeah.
right? But the thing is, would you keep yourself from the possibility of experiencing something so beautiful, something so divine, because God is love. And if you have a love that is the expression of God mm-hmm. or the expression of who God is, are you going to
find yourself someone who loves God?
Are you going to keep yourself
someone who loves
experiencing
God.
That beautiful expression mm-hmm. of love, because there's also a chance that this person might turn out to hurt you?
Yeah.
Now that is a question you're going to answer for yourself. But for me, something I want to never be said of Leah is that she was a coward.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I feel like love is such a beautiful and strong mm-hmm. thing. And in that regard, I'm no longer going to keep being averse to relationships or to love or to opening up to somebody that in terms that I need help, or to be vulnerable simply because I am hurt or I am afraid of what this person is going to say. Now, be wise about the persons you're sharing your things to, right? Because discretion, wisdom is profitable to direct. I'm not saying you should go about telling everybody your businesses, because no, that's not even attractive in the first place. But talk, if you know that you need to talk to someone, find somebody that is certified. Find somebody that is wise. Find somebody that is knowledgeable, somebody that also understands the expression of love that God teaches, so that they are able to really help you break this down.
We say love, we don't just mean as a feeling, because that's something that we need to completely deconstruct. Love as a feeling is never enough for anything.
Because you don't always feel lovable. Right? You don't always feel loving.
And the whole point of me being I talked about being single now is because I understand that nobody can love outside God.
No.
If a man does not know God, hasn't experienced the love of God, he is incapable of loving you, sis. Because God is love.
The reason why you would annoy me and we're fighting, but you're in my house and I go outside and then I'm coming back and I buy food and I buy for you, is because I know
that
even though I am mad at you now, I still care about you, right? Exactly. So you need to ask yourself, if you say you're in love with someone or you say somebody loves you, right, in these expressions, when you're mad, when you're happy, when you're thrilled, and when you're overjoyed, is your love kind? Is your love patient? Is your love, does your love hope the best of the person? Does your love rejoice when evil wins out, or when truth wins out? Is your love faithful?
Does your love reflect Christ?
You know, so that is the love that you need to start asking yourself. And then the last thing in regards to therapy that's been on my mind to say is, please don't run away from therapy or even from crying about your broken heart because because you're a strong black woman. First of all,
destroy it. What is strong?
Black man,
do you know
what is strong? Black
somebody
woman?
Broke what up with strong? Me, let me even tell you, somebody broke up with me my last relationship, and he said to me that, and this is disclosure because I want women to learn. That's why we share these things. We're not just sharing it to put our businesses out there, but I'm sharing it because vulnerability is also a way of, like, expressing my vulnerability is a way of helping someone.
Absolutely.
He said to me that, I'm like, how do you want me to deal with this? And he said to me, you're a strong woman.
Sis.
That day I killed
my
strength. Oh my God. He said, you're a strong woman. You get it right. That day I killed strength. I buried it. I tore it to shreds. I have never, strength as a quality is, who came up with the narrative that your ability to receive 10,000 painful things
is
because you're strong?
How about we agree that strength and softness can run simultaneously? Yeah. How about that?
Femininity.
How about that?
Like, there's nothing wrong.
I
want to
be soft. Please, love me soft.
My dear.
Soft.
In this
with
life.
With extra F's.
Oh, my
don't
gosh.
Love me and tell me you're a strong black woman.
Oh,
you know,
God.
like sometimes we don't allow ourselves to get to be open, to be vulnerable, or we don't allow ourselves to admit that there is a certain type of pain we're going through simply because people expect us to be strong.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, resilience is a concept that comes from having to survive in a certain place. So you evolve and become resilient in a certain situation because you've got no other choice.
Yeah.
Right? But we've got alternatives in the streets.
Yes.
Let's not keep ourselves hurting.
Okay.
And or closed off from love, or closed off from healing, regardless of what your situation might be, simply because of that construct that you're a strong person.
Yeah.
You can be strong and soft, darling. Be both. Okay. So
okay, I feel like we said so much. And on this note, I want us to round off.
Okay.
And this was such a good conversation. Oh my God, me too. I feel like we're going to do something else on faith and womanhood. On this note, I would just say that it was really nice having you on this show.
Thank you.
I would have really.
Where did the time go?
Yeah. Oh my God, it felt like it's been an hour.
Yeah, hopefully. Like 10 minutes.
Thank you so much, guys, for connecting with us today on today's podcast.
Thank you for listening.
able to talk about everything, almost everything, finances, relationships, trauma, womanhood generally, and I'm so glad. So I am looking forward to the next episode, but before we go again, I would want to say, always remember that you are loved, and that whatever you're going through, you would get over it. God loves you so much, and loves, I always loves, say loves you. If you haven't made the decision to come to him, he's always right there, arms open for you as a woman, for you as a guy, anyone listening to this. And yeah, he's waiting for you to come home. And if you do know that, you know, you've listened to this message and you want to see things from the angle of the way God sees it and understand things from the way we do it, it's one secret, the Holy Spirit. And if you know you want to receive the Holy Spirit and come to Christ, do well, send me a message anytime. I'm signing out, and I love you guys so much. Do have an amazing time. Bye.
I'm sorry, guys. My friend is new to YouTube. Please follow.
Please share. Please subscribe, however they say it.
Yeah, subscribe, not follow. Like, share.
Like, share.
Yeah. There'll be links in the description. Oh, by the way, my book is called Becoming That Girl, the 5 Minute Journal Christian Edition.
Yeah.
I remember I forgot to say the name. Okay. So it's Becoming That Girl, 5 Minute Journal Christian Edition. There will be the links.
Please. All right, guys. Bye. Love you. Bye.